Philippians 4 at verse 1. This is the word of God. Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. I implore Euodia and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. And I remind you of our text, verse 4 of the passage we just read together, where Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Now we join the church of all times and places in confessing the truths of the Christian faith as they have been summarized for us in the Apostles' Creed. Let everyone say in his or her heart, I believe in God, the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there He shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Dear congregation of the Lord Jesus, as I prepared an Advent sermon on Psalm 2, I was especially struck by verse 11 of Psalm 2 as worthy of two sermons. I'm thinking of the phrase, rejoice with trembling. Rejoice with trembling. Psalm 2:11 directs Christians in our lives in view of the second coming of Jesus Christ. This afternoon we will consider the call to rejoice, and next Sunday afternoon, the call to tremble, the call to fear the Lord. So this afternoon we will spend most of our time in Philippians 4, but we'll draw from some other passages of Scripture as we learn about Christian joy. In Philippians 4:4, Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let's consider four things we need to learn about this essential topic of Christian joy. First, defining Christian joy. Second, getting Christian joy. Third, experiencing Christian joy. Fourth, guarding Christian joy. And a few concluding thoughts on expressing Christian joy. So Philippians 4:4 is God's command to Christian joy. If we are to keep this commandment as Christians, we must define, get, experience, guard, and express Christian joy. Firstly, and most obviously, congregation, Christian joy is something only Christians can experience. The joy that the devil gives is fake. He knows that Christians have real joy now, and they will have it forever and fully and everlastingly so. So what does the devil do? He gives his followers substitute joys, or really fake joys that seem so obvious to those who reject them. I'm thinking of the party that leads to unconscious sin, a pounding head, and a bitter taste in your mouth. That counterfeit joy can't even last until the morning. For you, brothers in the Lord, who've been saved from that, you wouldn't go back, would you? That lifestyle is so much less, it offers so much less than the real, genuine, lasting, perfect joy that Jesus Christ freely gives. But if you are outside of Christ, oh, that you would see it for yourself, that your sins bring short-lived joys and many sorrows in this life already. But if it pleases Almighty God to save you through this word, your way to joy may be a way of sorrow, brokenness, and repentance for sin, learning more and more about what you have done and what God thinks of your sin. But if God saves you by His grace, He will lead you to real, genuine, lasting joy in the Lord. And that will lead to eternal joy, which is even better than Christian joy on this earth. So if you are outside of Christ, I would ask you, friend, will you turn from worldly joys and even wicked joys to seek the God who gives Christian joy? When Paul wrote to the Philippians, he was in prison in Rome for the first of two times. Paul had been saved through this time of shipwreck and being cast away on that island with the survivors of the shipwreck. God spared his life through that because God had far more work for Paul to do, even if much of it was done from a prison cell. So here's Paul in Rome, either in prison or else in a rented house, chained to a Roman soldier, writing to the Philippians. He's probably dictating this letter to a trained slave who has been trained to write quickly. This was the custom in those days. Instead of writing for yourself, if you were writing a letter to someone, you would have somebody who would write at your dictation. Now, if you remember Paul's letter to the Philippians, you know that Paul is desirous to be in heaven with Jesus, but he's also willing to remain alive so that he can help the Philippians, so that he can be of some spiritual benefit to them still. And in his letter, Paul mentions joy or rejoicing 16 times. And he mentions Jesus Christ 50 times. For example, in chapter 3 and verse 1, Paul says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe." Like the Philippian Christians, it would be most useful, even necessary for us to hear about Christian joy. In order to examine ourselves to find out how much we know about Christian joy, we need to know what Christian joy is. Let's begin then with a definition. Christian joy is not at all the same as happiness. Joy and happiness are different, and if you fail to see this, you will run into trouble. Let me explain this. Our English word happy has the word hap, H-A-P, which means lot in it. Happiness means that our circumstances, our lot in life, advantage us in some way. Happiness is our positive response to the things that happen to us. Even the circumstances themselves can be described as happy, because someone prospers as a result of them. For example, you would be happy if your boss told you that you would be getting a raise. Or, young people, in the upper grades in school or in post-secondary education, just think how happy you would be if you learned that that project that you worked so hard on, that you did well on that project, you scored a high mark. Or perhaps mothers, maybe the children behaved very well and you got all the daily tasks finished, the laundry's done. You wanted to get it finished, and it is. Happiness is the feeling we get when good things happen. Now that's happiness. But what's joy? More importantly, what is Christian joy? Christian joy is confidence and peace in God experienced in the heart that exists independently of my circumstances. I'll repeat that. Christian joy is confidence and peace in God experienced in the heart that exists independently of my circumstances. Let me see if I can make this clearer. Children, when good things happen, we feel happy, don't we? The two things go together, good circumstances and happy feelings. But Christian joy doesn't depend on good things happening. Christian joy, for everybody who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, is something that you can experience no matter whether good things or bad things happen in your life. Happiness increases and decreases with changing circumstances. But Christian joy doesn't depend on changing circumstances. Paul doesn't tell the Philippians, you must always be happy. But he does say, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Since this is true, since these words are recorded in Scripture, whether you get a raise or you lose your job, you can experience the same Christian joy. Christian joy remains, whether or not you scored well on the test, whether or not you finished the laundry, or you had to take care of a sick child instead. The next thing we need to see before we move on is that there is a crucial connection between Christians and God that functions at the heart of Christian joy. The connection between the Christian and his Lord is crucial in understanding the way that Christian joy works. Christian joy, says Paul, is joy in the Lord. It's joy in the Lord. We will flesh out this definition as we explore Philippians 4:4 and some other passages together. Perhaps someone says at this point, I realize that Christian joy is different from happiness and that it doesn't depend on external circumstances. I focus on the problems and the difficulties in life. People say that I'm a pessimist, but I think I'm just being realistic. I trust in Jesus Christ as my Savior. Does God expect me to live in Christian joy before I get to heaven? Yes. God expects and even requires that you rejoice in Him. Through Paul, God commands you to rejoice in the Lord always. The text before us is in the form of a command. Christian brother and sister, no matter your temperament, no matter your circumstances, God commands you to experience inner peace, well-being, contentment, and pleasure. How kind and gracious God is to give such a command. It's as if He says, be sure to seek the best for yourself. Don't settle for anything less than the best. Don't be satisfied with anything less than I can give you. To ensure that we take this matter seriously, that we make work of rejoicing in the Lord, God commands it. It's in the imperative tense, the tense that shows us that it's a command. Rejoice in the Lord. God tells us that our lives are to be characterized by this Christian joy. Rejoice in the Lord always. And God emphasizes the command, again I will say, rejoice. How do you respond to this, friend? Do you throw up your hands and say, life is tough. I'll never be able to live like that. So I won't even try. Are some of you paralyzed by doubt and discouragement? Do some of you think that Christian joy is for the super saints who are having an especially good day? People who are feeling very spiritually, very spiritual. They are the ones who can rejoice, you say. Well, my purpose in explaining the text and trusting the Holy Spirit to work with it is this. Only when we despair of ourselves, our ability to rejoice in God consistently, our resources to live a godly life, only then are we in a position to depend on the Lord. Does your heart say, I haven't been rejoicing in the Lord? I haven't been living that way much of the time, certainly not all of the time. If I'm going to begin to follow this command, I need God's help from start to finish. How I need Him. On my own, I am so helpless, so hopeless, that I can't even rejoice. I'm not feeling what I ought to be feeling. If it's going to happen, it will be because God does it in my life. Since you know this, are you seeking it with God? I'm thinking back to what I said before about God's command for us to seek the best, to seek all that He can give us. And that leads me to ask, fellow believers, why are so many satisfied with being average Christians? Why are so many satisfied with the security of the knowledge that they are not going to go to hell, that they're going to go to heaven, and that's really all they need to know, and they're contented to coast, to float the rest of the way? Why are so few concerned to be as useful as can be in God's service, to be as holy as possible, as Robert Murray McChane said? The useful, holy Christians, the leaders in the church, the men and the women whose legacies continue after their bodies have died, sought to give themselves in God's service. They tried to do big things for God. They looked to the Lord to bless what they attempted. And God answered them. He helped them and He prospered their work. Dear believers, God wants us to be joyful Christians. Maybe you say, okay, what do I have to do then to be a joyful Christian? Though God calls us to be joyful always, as I'll describe later, I have good news for you if you don't know where to start in living this joyful life that God calls us to. If you are a Christian, it is God's plan and purpose that you will become more joyful in the Lord. Well, how can that be? It can be so because joy is the second fruit of the Spirit. It comes after love and before peace. Remember, the fruit of the Spirit all come together. Either you have all of them, or you have none of them. They work just like the Beatitudes. You can't opt out of the fruit of the Spirit. And why would you ever want to opt out of joy? Spirit-worked Christian joy is a characteristic of subjects in the kingdom of heaven. Listen to what Paul says in Romans 14:17. Paul has been describing the importance of not judging each other as well as living in love when it comes to matters of Christian liberty. So in verse 17, he says, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit produces joy in God's people in this life, and that joy will be perfect when we are in heaven. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. So to be a joyless Christian is really a contradiction in terms. If you are living as a joyless Christian, I would ask you, what is the condition of your heart? If you are excusing sin, covering it, and making your heart a compromised place, a worldly place, friend, it's no wonder that the Holy Spirit is grieved. It's no wonder that you have lost your joy. If you are clinging to some sin, embracing your bosom sin, and you feel no decline in your joy, you think that you still have joy in the Lord, you need to ask whether your joy really is Christian joy. You need to ask that. I don't know what it is that's going on inside you, but I know that God chastises His people as long as they continue in sin. If you have not fertilized your spiritual life with Scripture and irrigated it with prayer, it is no wonder you are in a dry, joyless state. Until you have repented and returned to God's way, until you are seeking to serve the Lord in your whole heart, until you are seeking to make your heart a holy place, a fit dwelling for the Holy Spirit, it is most unrealistic for you to expect the Holy Spirit to give you a sense of peace with God. It's most unrealistic for you with a sinful, compromised heart to expect to receive a sense of your righteousness in Christ in justification. You should not expect Christian joy if you are not living in the way of desires for holiness, in the way of seeking holiness. We are focusing on the fact that Christian joy is joy in the Lord, as Paul tells us in Philippians 4:4. As long as you are compromising with the world, you are not spending time with God, don't be surprised if you lack a sense of the joy that the Holy Spirit gives, the joy that God commands you to have. If you are a Christian, you already have this joy in principle, just like you have the other fruit of the Spirit. God has worked it in your life by His grace, and now He commands you to work it out. We have defined Christian joy as inner peace, contentment, well-being, and pleasure in God that is to characterize our lives, no matter what our circumstances are. Christians don't need to do anything to get Christian joy, since it is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. But there certainly are things that we can and must do to increase our experience of Christian joy. Where are you seeking your joy, Christian? Rejoice in the Lord, the text says. Through Paul, God commands us to rejoice, to seek our joy in Him. Since God is the best and the highest one, it is right that He should be our highest joy, that we should find our greatest joy in Him. Could it be that your highest joy in life is interchangeable? By that I mean, could it be that God is the highest one at some times, and that you pursue something else as your highest joy at other times? Dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, let's be open and vulnerable before the Word of God. Let's allow God's Word to challenge us and convict us of our failure to make God our highest joy all the time. Let's repent of that sin. Ask God to forgive us and ask Him for the grace to find our greatest joy in Him more and more. How do we know that we are experiencing Christian joy? Christian joy is Christ-centered joy in the triune God. Christian joy is Christ-centered joy in the triune God. As Pastor Ursinus says in his catechism, one result of the coming to life of the new man is a heartfelt joy in God through Christ. A heartfelt joy in God through Christ. How does this then function in the Christian life? Through Christ, we know God as our Heavenly Father. We know Him as the one who decreed our salvation while we were yet sinners. We know God the Father as the one who is love. And we know God the Father through Christ as the one who loves us. Have you thought about that before, dear fellow believer? God the Father loves us. We must be so careful not to think that Jesus is the only person of the Trinity who loves us, that Jesus somehow needs to compel God the Father to treat us in a loving way, but He doesn't really love us. It's not so, dear ones. If God is our Father through Christ's saving work, we are His children, and He loves us. Please turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 14, where we learn about God the Father's love for His children. Perhaps this will revolutionize the way that you relate to God, and that would be a wonderful thing if it would bring you into a more biblical position, understanding that God the Father really does love His children. Let's look at John 14, verses 21 and 23. And please stay in the Gospel of John as we'll be moving to chapter 15 in a moment. 1 John 14, verses 21 and 23. Jesus speaks, He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is He who loves me, and He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. And verse 23, Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. We experience joy in God as we walk in His way. We seek to live thankful, obedient lives. We want to live to God's glory. Now, as we consider Christian joy and the way that it works, it's becoming clearer that Christian joy is the product of holy living. Christian joy is the product of holy living. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the more you seek to live for the Lord, the more then that you will experience the Father's love, and the greater your joy in the Lord will be as a result. What reason you have to rejoice in God the Father's love through Christ. What reason we have to rejoice in the saving work of the Son. With the Father and the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ loved us while we were yet sinners. He loved us not because He needed us, not because we could advantage Him in any way, but because He chose to love us. Is there one aspect of Christ's saving work that warms your heart and increases your joy in God? For me, besides Christ's willingness to die for me, it's His willingness to live on earth among sinners for 33 years. We have no idea what aggravation and frustration this must have caused Jesus. Yet He was willing to do it as part of His saving work. He was willing to leave heaven to live on earth among sinners. He willingly did that to save sinners like you and me. Every last one who believes on Him. Think on that, dear ones. Think on some aspect of Jesus Christ's saving work that warms your soul, that touches you, that causes you to rejoice in Him. Our saving connection to Christ and living to God's glory is part of Christ's plan for our joy. Living a godly life, being connected to Jesus, living for God's glory, is all part of God's plan for increasing the joy of His people. Let me show you how that's so. This time from John 15. Notice what Jesus says in John 15, the verses 9 through 11. John 15, 9 through 11. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. Christian, Jesus wants you to experience fullness of joy. Not by something extraordinary, not by means of something beyond Scripture, but in the way of faithful obedience. Do you get that, dear ones? The way to fullness of joy in the Lord comes in the way of daily, committed, faithful obedience to the Lord and to His commandments. God offers you superabounding joy if you are in Christ. Do you want it? Are you seeking it? Do you know the joy of those who are devoted to God's service? So we've considered that Christian joy is a Christ-centered joy in the triune God. And to this point, we've noticed that it's a joy in God the Father and God the Son. But let me remind you of what we have learned already about the role of the Holy Spirit in the experience of Christian joy. The Holy Spirit has given us joy in principle. Christian joy is one in a cluster of the fruit of the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit lives within us as God's people. There He witnesses to our souls that we are God's children. He renews us into the image of Christ. He produces the evidences, the good works in us, that show us that God is at work in our lives. Christian joy is a Christ-centered experience of each person of our triune God, Father, Son, and Spirit, with us, for us, and in us. Maybe someone says at this point, earlier you said that Christian joy doesn't depend on our circumstances. How can we maintain Christian joy as we suffer? The Scriptures help us to have a balanced position with regard to suffering. We should not seek additional suffering. We should not think of that as a higher plane of spirituality, seeking for more suffering. Jesus taught us to pray, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." But how should you respond if you are presently suffering? If you are presently suffering, and this will last for some time, maybe for the rest of your life, Christian joy can give you a perspective on suffering that will glorify God even as you suffer. God expects us to plan and to use the means, but fretting and worry are sinful responses to trouble and suffering. What should you do as you face the future with its uncertainties, its worries and trials? You should do what God calls you to do. Do it to the best of your ability. But as you do this, wait on the Lord. Look to Him. Pray to Him about your needs and concerns, and trust Him to take care of you. As Paul reminds the Philippians in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. These things, these focusing on God and His plan and His purpose, entrusting everything to Him and experiencing joy, even in suffering, these all can happen when you focus on God, even in your great troubles. It's only then that God will look big and your problems will look small in comparison. Christian, God has already taken care of the biggest problem that you have, the biggest problem in the world for you. Do you know what that is? That's the problem of your sin and my sin. I don't intend to discount or to minimize the problems that you face, dear ones. Isn't it true that with the trials, God gives sufficient grace for the trials? He gives the grace to be thankful in all things. He gives grace to be thankful for the good results of the trials. He gives the grace to suffer well. He gives the grace to speak well of the Lord, to glorify God even in your suffering. Oh, the blessedness, the joy of the man, woman, boy or girl who rejoices in God. His suffering can't quench his joy in God. Her feelings can't replace her joy in God. His death will lead to the perfection of his joy in God. This is the experience of Christian joy. It is God's plan for you, dear believer. Are you seeking it in the way that God has appointed? To this point, we have considered defining, getting, and experiencing the Christian joy that Paul commands in Philippians 4:4. Notice fourthly then, the way to guard your joy in the Lord. Three ways to guard Christian joy. First, the only way that you can know Christian joy is if you are a Christian. If you are not a Christian, it's possible that you might be mistaking happiness for joy. So it's very clear. It's very important that we need to be clear on the distinction between happiness and joy. Part of this dreadful thing of self-deception might be thinking that you have Christian joy when all you have is happiness. If your life is being directed by how you feel and by the things that you have, your circumstances control your level of joy, how necessary it is to examine yourself whether your faith is genuine. And friend, now is the time to ask the hard questions. Not when you're standing before Jesus Christ on Judgment Day. It'll be too late then. You will know for certain then whether your faith is genuine. But if it's not, it'll be too late to do anything about it. So really, Almighty God is coming to you now, and He's calling you to examine your life. Whether you are in the Lord. Whether you really do have joy in the Lord. Has God been at work in your soul to show you your sin, to deliver you from your sin through Jesus, and to lead you to live in joyful obedience? So the way to guard Christian joy, the first way then, is to make sure your Christian joy really is genuine joy in the Lord and not a mistakenly identified feeling of happiness. Secondly, a correct understanding of God's sovereignty will guard Christian joy. A correct understanding and valuing of God's sovereignty will guard Christian joy. As Reformed Christians, we talk about the teaching, the doctrine of God's sovereignty. But do you glory in God's sovereignty? Do you realize that God is in control of all things? No matter how chaotic and out of control things seem to be for you, are you comforted by the fact that God's sovereignty is the reason He loves you? God's sovereignty is the reason that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. Don't let the chaos of life, the uncertainty, the sorrow you experience steal your Christian joy. Rather, take shelter in the mighty fortress of God's sovereignty. Take comfort in the mighty doctrine of God's sovereignty. And go out into the battle of life, the battle each day, for the joy of the Lord is your strength, and the sovereignty of God is your comfort. Third, prayer is a guard for Christian joy. Prayer is a guard for Christian joy. I mentioned it earlier from Philippians 4, 6 and 7, where Paul says, "Don't be anxious about anything." What a word that is for us to hear if we're so tempted to worry in a sinful way. Don't be anxious about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Isn't it true that prayerlessness leads to joylessness? Don't let it be so for you, dear brother, dear sister in the Lord. Is God the first one you talk to when the unhappy circumstances come? Is God the first one you talk to when you don't know what to do? Keep on in prayer until you know the light of Christian joy, even in the deepest darkness, the darkness of your loved one's shadow of death, joy in your own valley of the shadow of death. And let me conclude then with a few words about expressing Christian joy. Expressing Christian joy. How should we express joy in the Lord? Surely singing to the Lord is a way of expressing Christian joy. You sing beautifully, dear ones, and it's such an encouragement as preacher to hear good singing, and as a musician myself. But let me encourage you, even as you appreciate singing together and the beautiful sound that you make, don't let the beauty substitute for a heartfelt experience of the things that you sing about. It's possible to sing beautifully and not to know anything of what you're singing about. But if you do know what it is to be convicted of your sin, to need a Savior, to find your all in Jesus Christ, and if it's your desire to live for Him now and to worship Him forever, sing then. Sing whether or not you can carry a tune. Sing to the Lord, for your praises are a beautiful sound in the ears of Almighty God. I believe He inclines His ear to listen to the praises as well as to the prayers of His people. And secondly, tell others about what the Lord has done for you. As we sing in Psalter 174, "Come ye that fear the Lord and hear what He has done for me." It's good if we can share our struggles and concerns with each other. And that's really part of what it means to be a church body. To share your needs and your concerns. To share your struggles with a particular sin with a close group of friends. But how right it is to tell others of what the Lord has done for you. The joy that you know. The way that you've received it. A text that spoke to your soul. A book that called you to a closer walk with the Lord. Someone or something that is a means of comfort for you. What has the Lord done for you, my brother, my sister? Will you be a means of encouragement, great encouragement to others? Will you tell someone? That's a means of expressing joy in the Lord. People in the world try to be happy, don't they? So many people live either for the weekend party or the next vacation. And that's all their life seems to be about. Is the next time they're going to really try to be happy. Isn't it true that these people move from one pleasure to the next, hoping to change their feelings by changing their circumstances, trying to become happy by the things that they buy, trying to fill a God-shaped hole in their soul with stuff. Yet the Christian is the only one who can really be joyful. In His Word, God says through Paul, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice." Christian joy matters to God. He wants you to experience it to the fullest. He wants you to experience Christian joy in this life already. Are you expressing Christian joy? Are you showing people, so many joyless, needy people, the way to joy in Jesus? Amen.